Praise the Lord. Come on. How many of you glad that heaven has heard you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Those of you that were here Sunday night, the theme for 2011 summed up in one word is what on the count of three? One, two, three. Believe, right? Oh, come on. That sounded pretty wimpy. One, two, three.
Believe.
Yes. And I asked the Lord for confirmation. I'm just going to share a little bit with you tonight, and the pastor's kind of come, and we're going to involve everyone. How many of you know that your kids need to know how to intercede? I know our teachers have been working with them about praying and appropriating the promises of God, and this is the year for faith to come upon us. And how many of you young people, you want to see God move fantastically in your life in 2011? You guys want that? You guys want that? Hello? I believe you do. I believe you do. Yes, everybody in here is young, right? Amen. I want to share with you, it's kind of neat, if you turn over to Acts chapter 10, just a little bit of confirmation of what we heard Sunday night. And if you weren't here, I do encourage you to get a copy of the CD. God is speaking to this place, and it is so neat. I talked to a pastor in another state, and I asked him, we were talking on the phone, and I said, what is God saying to you for 2011? He said, I can tell you. He said, God is telling us it's time to believe. And so, God's saying the same thing all over the place. But Acts chapter 10, verse 4, it says, and when he, we'll begin in verse 1, it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. In parentheses by that verse, write, heaven has heard you. That's what the angel was saying to, the minister was saying to Cornelius, is heaven has heard you. And by the way, aren't we really glad to see Brother Doyle back? It's so good to see you. And Sister Helen, we're glad to have you guys back. You're looking good, Brother Doyle. How are you feeling? Awesome, awesome. Praise God. Another miracle sitting there. Go over to verse 31 of the same chapter. And he said, it says, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. In other words, heaven has heard you, Cornelius. And if you will flip, if you will, over in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Again, I encourage you to bring your Bible, bring a notebook, expect God to speak to you and drop nuggets into your spirit. Young people, when you go to your classes, take your Bible, take a notebook with you for God to speak to you, that you can write down these things and review them later. But Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then, read it with me if you will. So then, faith cometh by what? Say it again. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. And I can't stress to you enough how important it is for you to repeat out loud what the Word of God is saying. When we're in worship and you are encouraged to use your voice to speak, the reason why for that is not because the Lord's deaf or the Lord can't determine what our praise is, but faith comes upon you as you hear your worship going back to the Father. As you begin to worship Him in spirit and in truth, you begin to form words with your mouth that says things like, Father, I love you, and Father, you are Jehovah Jireh, and you begin quoting the word back to the Father, then according to this scripture, faith is going to come upon you. And when faith comes upon you, it enables you to do things that you cannot otherwise do. When you see in the New Testament faith coming upon the apostles, faith coming upon the disciples, that's when we saw the miracles occur, right? We saw the blind eyes being opened. We saw the dead being raised. We saw cripples being made delivered and healed, and we saw people that were possessed by devils, and they were being released from that evil power. Because I'm going to tell you this, sin nor Satan can stand to dwell in the same place where there is faith. And if you want to do great damage to him, it's by faith coming upon you. Do you realize when you're saved, there's a measure of faith that is within you? But there's a difference when faith comes upon you. That moves in a gift of faith. Yeah. And it will give you a measure of faith that you don't possess on your own. I'm not saying the faith in salvation. The Bible tells us we receive a measure. But there is something different when faith comes upon you and begins to move. And we're going to see that in the scripture here in just 1 second. So faith comes by hearing. It's important to say what God says. Therefore, if faith comes upon you by what you say, faith can leave you by what you say. Right? If I have negative things coming out of my mouth, if I have hurtful words coming out of my mouth, if I'm gossiping out of my mouth, that's why the Bible says let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, because what comes out of your mouth is going to do one of two things. It's either going to bring faith upon you or it's going to cause faith to leave. And that, when faith leaves us, that's when people struggle. They pray and they don't get answers. They pray for things and they don't see them happen. I don't know about you, but I want to see the answers to the prayers that I have prayed. I want to see people delivered. How many of you want to see that? You want to see God use you. It's going to require for us to hear, to speak the Word of God, and hearing by the Word of God in Romans chapter 10. Now turn to Hebrews 11, chapter 6. Or Hebrews 11, verse 6, I'm sorry. I have this scripture and one more, and then I will share it with Pastor. Hebrews 11, 6. This is something we're very, very familiar with. In Hebrews 11, 6, it says, "But without faith, it is difficult to please him." Is that what it says? It says it is impossible. What does impossible mean? Impossible means it cannot be done without faith. I can't please the Lord. I can't pray enough. I can't read enough. When you read the Word, it has to be done with faith. When you pray, it has to be done with faith. When you receive from God, it has to be done with faith, or it won't be done at all, right? So here he says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now listen to this. If God demands that I have faith when it is impossible for me to have faith, then I have a right to challenge his justice. But if he places within my hands the means whereby faith can be produced, then the responsibility rests upon me as to whether I have faith or not. How many of you know Jesus already came? He gave us the measure of faith. But that measure is to grow like a muscle. And it's going to grow when faith comes upon us. And it comes upon us by hearing, speaking, saying the Word of God. Because the more you repeat the Word, the more you hear it, the more faith is going to come upon you. Isn't it awesome that God made it so easy to receive, so easy to pray for people, so easy to see things accomplished in the Lord? And sometimes we make it really hard. We make it, I don't know about you, but there have been times when I've made it difficult. And it's really easy. He just says, if you hear the Word, you speak the Word, faith will come upon you. Now turn real quickly to let's look at Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark. We're going to begin in verse 25. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Story we're all very familiar with, but let's just read through it together. It says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue has gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now in verse 34, look what Jesus said to her. It says, and he said unto her, "Daughter," what is the next two words? "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And interestingly enough, Jesus did not say, "My faith has made you whole," or "Because I'm the Son of God and I'm about to pray over you, you're going to receive healing." He didn't say that because of who I am. He looked at her and he said, "There is something that you possess right now that if you activate it, you're going to receive what you came for." How many times do people go up to get prayed for and the responsibility of the faith rests on the one that is doing the praying? We go up to receive prayer and we expect the preacher to pray over us, or whoever, that the minister to believe for us. We ask for prayer requests and the responsibility rests on somebody else to pray for me, somebody else to pray for what we want. Kids at school, you have prayer requests and we ask for it and then we expect someone else to pray. But Jesus said, no, that's not how it works. What is going to cause the healing is when your faith becomes activated. All right? Jesus said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." There was two things that lady did. She had faith that Jesus was going to do what she asked. She had faith that his word was true. And she had faith to receive. You see, when we have someone praying for us, it's not just about believing that God can do it, but it's having the faith to receive. And her faith is what activated her healing. So tonight, what I want you to take away from this before we pray tonight, before we pray together, it's got to be done in faith. But it's not the faith of everybody praying around you that's going to cause things to change tonight. How many of you know there's a shaking going on in the atmosphere? We don't have thousands of birds dropping dead, falling out of the sky. You know what I'm saying? There is something moving, is there not? And Pastor was talking about how they're shooting beams at the fault line. Things are shaking up. We're seeing the shaking begin. And all that can be shaken is going to be shaken, so that which cannot be shaken is going to what? What is the one thing that cannot be shaken? If you're founded on the word, it's going to be your faith. Right? And so tonight, before we pray, remember this. It is your faith that activates the Father. The faith to believe and the faith to receive what we're asking. How many of you can do that tonight? Amen. And I think when we come together with the faith to believe and the faith to receive what I'm asking, then we're going to begin to see the miracles happen. How many of you are ready for that? I believe God wants to use each and every one of us. When you're praying for someone, whoever you're praying for first has to get to the place to be able to receive what we're praying about, for that faith to become active. So tonight, activate your faith. When Pastor comes in a few minutes and asks us to pray, remember, faith comes by hearing. Hearing is going to come by what comes out of your mouth, what you speak. So it's important for you to participate. Kids, it's important for you to pray, for you to say what's coming out of your mouth. So faith will come upon you. and you can walk into the schools and really see change. And I believe that's what it's going to take. And I believe when we activate our faith in a new and fresh measure that we're seeing and feeling that's going to be happening this year, we're going to see things begin to change. And begin to see things change in our schools, see things change in our homes, in our county, in our city. Amen?
Amen,
Pastor.